Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're stuck here self-isolating as before in the house rather than going down to the studio. But we got Zoom working, so it's not too bad. It's not the end of the world. We're here to discuss about the big stories in tech, and joining me, an absolutely fabulous panel, soon to be added to by Jeffrey. But starting us off, Alistair, how the devil are you, mate?
Well, I'm fine. Welcome to my lovely home, as you can see.
I think you've done an awful lot in a week, mate. Superb.
Yeah, because it was just a plain wall behind me before, and now
exactly.
Look at it.
That's like changing rooms.
That's fantastic.
How have you been, mate? How's lockdown treating you?
Well, it's tiresome because the weather's been great, but we've been finding an excuse to fill out our requisition forms and go out, so... basically, we shop to buy one tin of something every day.
Right.
So we don't do a week shopping because that means we'd have to spend the other 6 days indoors. Mm-hmm. So we spread it out a bit. And I live in a very nice bourgeois area. So everyone's very respectful and stay apart. And no one's ever stopped us.
Good. As long as you get your form, mate.
It's good. Yeah, got my form. Now, there is a worry on this, because in France, since you have to have the forms, and everyone's saying, well, what happens when we run out of printer paper and we can't buy any more?
Yeah, thought of that, yeah.
They said, oh, right, we've come up with a way, and they're going to launch it on Monday next week, of being able to fill out your form on your phone. Mm-hmm. And, of course, everyone's now worried, because the only way that would probably work is they'll record when you do it and who you are, and... Mm-hmm. I don't know until someone checks out what kind of app they're going to come up with. It might even sat-nav you. So people are a bit worried about, and these are people obviously who are going out more than once a day.
If only so, they'd invented QR codes.
So next time I'm on, I'll tell you how that goes.
Yeah,
well, you're still here,
it's
mate.
The French government.
next to him, Callum's joining us. You're on mute, mate. Oh, he's back.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry, the dog's barking. Someone's letting off some fireworks.
So the guy that does Mac, who knows he can't talk about Mac on this show, has decided to come. You're clearly bored out of your small brain, mate.
Yeah, I can't even. Yeah, there's no anything.
Why on earth would a Mac bloke come on the big show unless he was bored shitless?
yeah, correct. Yeah,
yes, I got you, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I've managed to find some sort of not Apple-related things to talk about. I hope I can contribute. I'm just waiting to be ridiculed for having the background on, but
No, you're the sponsor, mate. You're all right. You're good. You can still keep that. You can totally carry it off.
Yeah, thanks. happy to be here. Second time on. Obviously, I do the Mac show.
Happy to be here. Begging to be here. Otherwise, it's another night in front of shit TV.
Yeah, in front of more Netflix. Yeah.
Good man. Someone else who's taking a break from Netflix? Habba. How you doing, missus?
I'm fine.
Done your hair? Looks nice.
Yeah, well, there's not much to do, is there? So it's had a very unproductive week.
Yeah, for the 12th time in 7 days I've done my hair.
Yeah, not much.
Biting deep, mate. It's biting so deep. Auntie Pamela's isolating, apparently.
She is, with family, luckily, so she's not alone.
Excellent. So she's happy and well.
Yeah.
We got to get her on the show, mate. So
chance, I have to say, she's so not doing it.
We've got to get her on after we've finished. She's got to come on the show. Send her the link. Come on.
I mean, we managed to get.
I'll send her the link, but she won't do it.
Are you well, girl?
I am. So getting used to I'm used to working from home, but it's that you can only go out once a day.
Yeah, no, it's not good. I did retweet today. Chris Hadfield put a video out saying, you're just like an astronaut. You're like a ship's captain. You know, you're all isolated. Mm. Everything around the four walls that you're encased in is complete danger on the other side. So you got to make the most of the four walls you're in, and you got to build your crew. And I'm kind of like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah,
And then Sharon said, can you go and buy some from the supermarket? Yeah, all right, okay. Because they do that on the space station. I was totally in character and now you've blown it. As long as you're well, mate, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I am. Thank you very much.
Good. Next is Atlee, who's just given us a tour of his premises. And based on the fact that you've grown a beard and you've got a place that's way up north in Canada, Mullerbiker wants to know if you've become Father Christmas. Have you been Tim Allen and you've now gone from Dexter to Father Christmas?
He's muted.
You guys are awesome.
No, he's not. He's just laughing intently. Are you well, brother?
Yeah, I'm okay. I've been fighting a bit of just a cold the last few days, but
it can't be coronavirus because you haven't met anyone from the same species for the last 4 months, apart from the bloke that felled your trees. That'd be a thing. He collapsed the tree on the corner of your office and gave you coronavirus.
No, it's okay. No, I'm doing well. I'm doing much better than can be expected. It's an interesting time. It's actually pretty funny because it really hasn't changed my life that much because I'm usually pretty
because you haven't seen
remote
another
anyways.
Human in 4 months.
I've been working from home for a dozen years, so.
Yeah. Good man. Nice to see you safe, mate. And last but by no means least, well, actually last until Jeff turns up, Patrice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, hi.
Doing good?
Doing good, yeah. I just cooked. We had a great mech show before, so I'm ready for the weekend.
Excellent, mate. And how's you've recorded the Foodie podcast, haven't you?
I have, yeah, the Foodie Flashback. Recorded the first episode, still have to do the editing. I hope I get that done today or latest tomorrow, and then it will be out.
We say on the Mac Show, I've got to get on that soon so I can do my grandma's trifle before anyone else does trifle.
Yeah, we'll schedule that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely cool. Alistair's moved location.
I'm also doing the same.
Mm-hmm. Go on, mate, sorry.
I'm also doing the same thing that Alistair is doing. I'm going shopping basically every day, like one or two items.
Yeah.
Just so that I get like exercise in.
Well, I think I've had it. And I'm pretty sure because someone that I had a photo shoot with on the day before lockdown has got it. So I'm pretty sure I gave it them. So I've been going out kind of feeling like I'm immune.
Mm-hmm.
And last but totally last, it's Jeff Gamet, the late Jeff Gamet, not dead, just late.
Did I actually show up right at the right time for my introduction?
Kind of, yeah. If I hadn't been shaming you the whole way through the previous introductions, no one would know you were late.
You know, that's
we had to go round twice round, actually.
Yeah, we did it two.
We've been introduced three times, in fact.
Oh, that's fantastic because all of you are that important.
Oh, mate, don't believe it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Way to pull it back.
And I apologize for running late.
It's all right, mate.
But hey, it's great to see everyone.
It's all right. We know you were late because you were doing work, whereas if Atlee's late, it's because he's hiding a body.
Well, you know, that could be considered work too. I mean, it might be part of his profession now.
Oh, yeah,
or
totally.
Toys. You don't know.
Yeah, totally. He could be making toys.
Oh, that's a burn. Oh, man. Seven people on Big. I can't remember the last time we've had anyone close to this. This is brilliant. Superb.
Might have to rename it to Huge.
The Huge Show. Hello, welcome to the Huge Show. And we're going to do the intros again. Right, the big stories in tech. Who's got the biggest story? The first one who's going to kick us off. And don't you dare steal it, Jeff, because I think that would be taking the piss.
No, I feel like it's appropriate since I wasn't able to show up right on time that I not drop a story in first.
Oh, mate, we might not do another story tonight. this has come in from Patrice.
Yes,
mate, we will not do another story tonight. I can see this taking up the whole show.
Oh, I hope not. So NASA has detailed plans how they are going to establish a sustained human presence on the moon. So if you've seen Last Man on the Moon, like it ended with kind of like a habitat there. Yeah. This is their plan, how they're actually going to do it. And it's very interesting. Like, I mean, if you remember back in the day, the first time they went to the moon, like, I mean, long, long time ago at this point, where they had like a very slow and measured approach. They would like go a little bit further and try something and then see whether that works and fix it if it doesn't, and then go like fly to the moon but not land, and then go closer to the moon but still not land. They're doing kind of the same thing. So they're first going to try testing landing and like ascent.
Yeah.
Again, kind of, but I mean, it's new technology. I mean, stuff has progressed over the last, what was that now, 70 years?
Well, we're also having to relearn how to do this stuff because a lot of the technology and knowledge was lost.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the technology definitely doesn't work anymore. I mean, it's in museums, the stuff that is even still around. So, yeah, it's definitely that. They're going to like expand the surface exploration a little bit. They've already started that to some extent. But I think they want to figure out like where to land and what would be like interesting areas. They're going to create a, like, I think in space gateway.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you mean like the, I'll call it a base at a Lagrange point.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like the space station, International Space Station, but for the moon. Which will also, I mean, also help with communications and stuff. And then they're going to start like building the first like surface habitat. There's, as far as I know, no timeline for this yet, exactly how long this is going to take. And I think that's also on purpose. Like they're simply saying, okay, let's start small and then step by step build on it and see how fast we can go, and still be safe. I mean, if we want to send people there, we have to make sure that they survive and that they come back as well. Like, I mean, they have to get there in one piece and also come back. We don't want to have people stranded there. It would be bad.
Doc Rock has joined us, and obviously clearly has someone who's highly infectious in his room, or he's worried about infecting us.
I cannot believe how long it took you to show up, Doc. What's up with that?
Yeah, you know you're 4 hours late for the Mac show, right? Well, actually 4 and a half.
I forgot about the DST thing, and so I didn't set the clock. What
are you like?
Yep.
The thing that
you guys got to get your DST thing on point.
We are. We're 2 weeks after you. You're the ones that screw it up, not us.
I live in Hawaii. We don't do it because it's dumb. Yep.
Well, that's not my fault.
Yep.
See, this is why people in Hawaii are smart.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's always the people near the equator that go, oh, what's all this with DST stuff? We don't need it. Yeah, no, we do when we're in the northern hemisphere and we're actually in the north. It means the difference between going to school in the dark or not.
No, we're not in the north. Atlee's in the north.
Well, he's only seen the sun about a month ago.
Yeah.
I'm actually probably farther south than you guys are. I'm cool with Bangor, Maine right now.
Yeah, I mean, so actually Detroit, where my family are from, are level with Ali in the south of France. So,
south of England in line with New York City?
No, I think New York City's way below. I think New York City's down in the Mediterranean somewhere.
Really? I thought it was further north.
Well, get a map. I'm sure there's a place you can look for that kind of thing.
If there is.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe. There should be.
I should send you a link.
Google Maps.
Yeah, just find a line that runs through New York City and follow the line until you stop. Until the blue runs out.
Yeah.
The thing with this, so here's my point, right? The space exploration thing, and I'll say I'm in this generation, right? So my parents' generation, not so much, because they saw the moon landings, they saw the space shuttle, and it was like, okay, we saw that bit. But for mm-hmm. me, I was just at the start of that. So I've got this little vague recollection of sitting up mm-hmm. with my parents watching The Bloke in the Silver Suit and them telling me years later that I watched the moon landings live with them. I don't really mm-hmm. remember it. But it's just kind of like, as a kid mm-hmm. of Apollo, I want to see us go back to the moon. And then I'm happy to croak. I don't give a mm-hmm. shit about Mars. Keep Mars. I'm done. Yeah. But I want to see us go back to the moon and set up a colony on the moon. And even if I die the yeah, month after, I feel like that's okay. That's all right. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you can... I don't want to die before... But the problem is when NASA come out with goals, it's like, we're going to do this and we're going to have someone on the moon living permanently by 2045. And you're like, I'm not going to be here, man. What are you doing?
Well, you never know, right?
No, I'm not going to be here in 24. I drink too much.
Well, the thing that pops into my head every time is, if you remember from last year's all the celebrations, the films, the documentaries about the moon landings, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they trawled up all these graphics and sample videos and prototypes, and they all look. Do you remember? You know, back in the late mm-hmm. late 50s and early 60s, and they all look really childish and stupid. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering how the graphics on that TechCrunch page you've just shown us, how they will look in the future in 2045 when people are going, ah, look at the buggy. Yeah. It's so funny. Look, there are four people on Mars. Yeah. Little did we know then, all we had to say was, you know, announce we're having a party on Facebook and about a million people turned up.
That would
be cool.
That would be cool. I mean, the thing is, I mean, politics aside, the plan was originally to go to the Mars directly, and I think it just makes, I mean, it is more expensive probably to do it this way, to go to the moon first and then go to Mars. But I think it is important because we can learn so much and like figure so many things out and have basically a starting point to go to Mars by going to the moon, which is like compared to Mars, like very close by. So I think it makes sense. And I mean, that's the ultimate plan. They want to extend the habitat and also the gateway to enable us to do Mars missions, and then also probably even use them as a starting point or a staging point, like go to the moon first and then go to Mars. And
yeah, the moon's got to be directly. Like the ascension island of the Atlantic mm-hmm. crossing, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes, using the moon as essentially a launch pad to go mm-hmm. to Mars, it makes sense, even though, yes, what Patrice said, I believe is right. It costs us more money in the long run, but whatever, mm-hmm. because we'll be able to learn so many things that will have value for surviving on Mars, but also mm-hmm. getting there alive. And it may be cheaper to launch Mars missions from mm-hmm. the moon than from Earth, because you're already outside the atmosphere. And it just seems like this is the more logical progression as opposed to going directly to Mars.
It's kind of like the sandbox thing. I mean, instead of building like the massive sandcastle like right away, you build a little thing first and figure out how to do it, and then you build on top of that.
But I was watching a thing with Chris Hadfield, and he was saying the big problem that there is with Mars is it's not Earth and it's not the moon. So the Earth is mm-hmm. great because you dive into the atmosphere, it's dense, and you open a parachute and it lets you fall down. You mm-hmm. dive into the moon and you fire your retro rockets and you get a soft landing from the retro rockets. But Mars mm-hmm. isn't. Mars has got an atmosphere. So you can't use retro rockets because you're not falling fast enough. But you can't also use a chute because there's no atmosphere. Yeah, there's not enough of an atmosphere. It's a halfway house, and it causes massive mm-hmm. issues with the ability mm-hmm. to get there. It's so the thing that's stopping us at the moment isn't necessarily the drive there, it's the stopping bit mm-hmm. at the other end. And they've had several occasions mm-hmm. where they've chucked the ball the inflatable ball down that then fold open mm-hmm. and the rover comes out, versus the sky crane issue that had with the last lander, which worked well, but that was phenomenal, But you look at Beagle and you look at all the other things that have gone on. There's a lot of rovers been lost on Mars just because they couldn't sort the landing out. You cannot send a person.
Yeah.
Landing on Mars is really, really hard.
Yeah. And it's also about the speed. I mean, you have to speed up to a certain extent so you're not like you're getting there in time before like Mars moves away too far. So you have to speed up and then you have the problem. You have to slow down at the end as well. And I mean, we've seen that even that doesn't happen all the time. Like we've had like rovers crash into the planet.
Here's a question for everyone. Do you remember Starman went up in Elon's Tesla?
Mm-hmm.
When was, how long ago was that?
Was that last year?
I think it was last year, but to be fair, this last month felt like it was 3 years. So I can't remember for sure.
It was 2018. No. February 6, 2018.
Okay. It's been 2 years.
Wow.
And I was gobsmacked because Patrick in the Slack room said, I wonder where Starman is right now. And I said, oh, he's got to be approaching Mars, thinking it's like the 105-day travel. He must be nearby now. It's not 105 days. It's 550 days or whatever, you know. Jesus. 800
well,
days.
I mean, he's not traveling very fast. Like, he doesn't have any rockets or anything. Like, he's literally just... Like going very slowly.
It's out past Mars, mate. It's out into the void a little bit further up towards the Kuiper Belt. It's a long, long, long way out. And I was just gobsmacked. That's two years.
It's a lot farther out than I thought.
Yeah. There's a link I put in the Slack room. And there's a little Starman tracker thing. And he's way out. He's way past the orbit of Mars and starting to return back now. But that's, and you look at the time scales. Like I said, you know, NASA's great. I love you to bits. I think you're an awesome organization and I want to come and work for you and I want to fly in space. Absolutely. I'd give anything. But please do it before I die because you owe me, you know?
Yeah, that would be great.
Where is roadster.com? Thank you, Doc. That's the one.
Okay, but that's because, okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's way out there, isn't it?
I think as well, you're talking about how far away it is. I think that's why you'll probably end up going via the moon because it's going to cost less in human life. Forget the amount of money. It's going to enable us to probably prepare those people that will end up going and doing it for the first time to be better equipped and whatnot. So it's going to cost us less in human life, which is ultimately probably the most important thing. So that's why I think we'll end up probably going via the moon rather than straight there.
That's also the other thing. I mean, the whole Mars mission is not going to be like a 6 month or even a year like mission. Like I think the longest mission we've had is like a little bit over a year, like on the International
Space Station. Scott Kelly's done just over a year, hasn't he? 13 months.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, the trip there, I think, is 6 months and the trip back is about 6 months. And in between, I think you have to stay 18 months on Mars because otherwise it's too far away. So that's like a 2.5 year mission.
Well, the shortest trip there is 105 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's the shortest trip. So, and when you're there, you've got to come back when it's shortest. You can't come back when it's longest. Mm-hmm. Just that.
Now, for a trip that short, is that assuming?
I know America's big, but Jesus Christ, Jeff, how slow do you drive?
Well, I haven't had a ticket
behind him
time.
All the time.
You're still.
Oh, that's you.
On the horn. Atlee on the horn.
So what I'm wondering is at Mars closest. So the shortest travel time to Mars, is that feasible for humans? Or just for robotic missions, meaning would the gravitational changes having to accelerate and decelerate be too much for human or not? I mean, I honestly don't know.
Well, the biggest issue is the radiation, isn't it? Because that's where they're talking about the one mission that they said that they thought they could do it, where they could do a free return trajectory. They were asking for a couple to go on it. Do you remember it was a privately funded thing, but they were talking about a couple to go on it. With the high likelihood that they would not be returning, but they were going to insulate them from the radiation with their own effluent.
Yes, I remember that.
We talked about it on the big show. You were going to be coated in your own shit and piss, and that was going to stop you from dying from radiation poisoning.
Yeah, they're going to be packed into the walls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that the plot of Avenue 5?
Yeah. No, I'm very excited about all of this. I'm super interested in like space and everything. So I'm very excited. I mean, any progress we make, anything we learn, anything we figure out is like a step in the right direction.
My grandmother, the year she died, bought me an Airfix model of the space shuttle, and it hadn't even launched at that point. And it flew in the August just before she died. And she was gobsmacked by it. And she'd seen man leave the ground for the first time with Orville and Wilbur, and then she saw a reusable spacecraft go into orbit and come back just literally before she died. And I was like, wow, that's such a progression of man's achievement. But I grew up with the end of Apollo and the start of the space shuttle. And I'm sorry, NASA, you freaking owe me. you owe me a moon base.
To some extent, I feel the same. I mean, I'm too young to like have lived in that Apollo era. When I even got interested in space, I mean, in my teens, that was the end even of the space shuttle program. Like there was already like they were like already declining at that point. So yeah, I kind of missed all of that, and I'm a little bit sad about it.
You know what was awesome is growing up, when I was living in D.C., I was literally 2-3 blocks away from the Air and Space Museum. Mm-hmm. And then so during, school out time, you know, Easter vacation, Christmas vacation, spring vacation, I was there like daily. And maybe like a block away from there, there was something known as the Children's Discovery Museum, also part of the Smithsonian Institute. And they had a lot of interactive stuff. So you got to play with, you know, all types of stuff. And I got into sort of the Estes model rockets and, you know, calculating payloads. And I even, you know, made the thing. It looks like a paper towel tube. And you put the compacted engine in the bottom, like a D engine was probably like the strongest. And right towards the end of that, they had one where you could put a payload. There was a rocket called the Colossus, and it had a clear window. And then so I remember putting a cockroach in the window and shooting it into the sky. But it's trippy because, like you said, Patrice, you came along towards the end of the shuttle program. I remember sitting on the floor in like kindergarten or first grade or whatever and watching the Apollo landing, how the whole country just stopped and, you know, sat in front of TVs and watched this stuff. Mm-hmm. And now we have a hard time getting everybody together to watch anything. And those times were very uniting, and we need something. Mm-hmm. So that's why this is all important. If we could do something again where everyone will sit around and watch and feel united for once instead of acting like we act.
We've got the National Space Museum by us, and they've got an exhibit where you physically go and stand in a module that's the same size as what's on the space station. But there's an activity where they say, right, okay, you're in charge of the mission. You allocate what resources go up for that mission, for your travel. Mm-hmm. And you sit there and you go, oh, right, so we're going to need this experiment and this experiment, and we want to do that. And you need to train because you want to lose your muscle density. So you add all this stuff together and you complete your payload. And then you go, commit. And it goes, okay, food and water for the astronauts. And you're like, oh, shit. Shit, I totally forgot food and water for the astronauts, because you just assume.
That would have been the first thing on my list.
Yeah, there's like a faucet, right? So surely there's like a water supply. I didn't think I'd have to take the water up to the space station. It's so obvious, but...
Hell of a long time. I sent you a link.
To Doc's point. Tell you
sorry, Patrice.
Yeah.
Go on.
I sent you a link because this Space Center Goddard was literally right behind my elementary school. So as a kid, we got to go there all the time. And it's funny you have such an affinity for it. And I went a lot, but I don't think at that time I knew that it was going to be such a special deal now, because we thought this was going to be normal. What they were doing is going to be normal.
Yeah.
We didn't know it would get like defunded and sort of pushed towards the back and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel bad, because I literally grew up in the backyard of all of this, and I have, you know, patches and all kind of stuff from when I was a kid, but I never knew that you shouldn't take it for granted.
Mm. I mean,
to Doc's point, like it, the cool thing about Apollo, and I think that the thing that you see a little bit with SpaceX, but not as much, is it wasn't just a American thing. It was a global thing. It wasn't the Americans or NASA or whatever. We sent someone to the moon. No, it was we humans, the entire world. We did this, like everybody. And I think that's definitely missing right now. And I think, as I said, you see it a little bit with SpaceX. I think a lot of, like, all around the world, a lot of people follow that. A lot of people, like, are really excited about it. But it's a different scale right now.
It's not the same.
SpaceX
has, I mean, it's very cool. And, and I love watching the launches. And
me too.
But it doesn't have that same, this is about all of us feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying it feels more commercial isn't exactly right, but it feels more like business as opposed to we are furthering humanity.
Yeah, it's maybe also like a technical curiosity, like more than like a global human thing.
That's a bit, that sounds like I preferred space travel when it was hurling yourself into the void with no real idea about what was going to happen.
Yeah,
kind of. And
personally, I'd be happier for my government to give money to something like this than for them to give money to Richard Branson to do something like this.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with that.
Definitely, yes.
But I mean, I'm just worried, Patrice, that you've just gone like we did this, as in like Wernher von Braun did it, and Wernher von Braun was German, so Germans were the first people on the moon. And
no. I'm joking.
I was provoking the people who are going to write in and say I'm a Nazi hater.
Well, you see the American flag behind me, so
Anything. So you've watched the episode of Hot Wings where Tyson says it was not Tyson. Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson says, we all did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the episode. Yeah, you were quoting the episode of Hot Wings, the Hot Wings challenge.
Probably, yes. Yeah.
I've watched a lot of YouTube this week. It's a worrying amount of YouTube. I can't remember. Natalie Portman did her today on the Hot Wings challenge. Did Charlize Theron. Her episode was good. She's quite good with the sauce, man. She can take the spice. Neil deGrasse Tyson, Gordon Ramsay. I've done that about a third time now, though, because it's a good laugh, because he's a bit of a pussy. But
mm-hmm.
We need another story, please. Who's got the next story, please, chaps? And lady. Campion says he's going to join us in a bit, so that'll be 8 people plus me, 9 on the big show. We've never had that many. All right, Howard's in first. Coronavirus. Oh, we're supposed to be coronavirus free. Okay.
Well, as much as I want to be, I thought found this interesting.
Oh, I like the slander here. Go on.
Is this to do with the robot? So Tunisia's got this surveillance robot that goes around and it scans their documents and asks them, you know, why are you out? And what are you doing out? Although, mind you, it does say further along, somebody said that they were going out to buy cigarettes and it said, okay, buy your tobacco and then be quick to go home. But it uses thermal imaging camera and light detection instead of radio waves. So I thought it was quite interesting and wondering whether this might be used,
this is a bit
rolled out a bit more in different places.
Well, this is a bit Black Mirror, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I like that, because there was the pizza delivery thing that knocked the person over in that one episode of Black Mirror, and then of course the dogs that chased the woman down and kill her for the theft in that one episode. This is quite interesting.
I'm
looking.
You have 20 seconds to comply.
Yeah,
it is. No, it absolutely is. Yeah,
I'm just thinking exterminate.
Exterminate.
Yeah, resistance is futile. That's a good one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Fold up your paper too.
No, the Derbyshire police would love this because they've gone a bit overboard this week, haven't they? They've chased people with drones across the moors, and they've also dyed a lake black so no one would go and take a picture near it.
Okay. And then everybody took a picture of it.
If you haven't heard that, I've covered it on Photoshop. Yeah, I've covered it on photo. On yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Go out, take a picture of the lake, and just put a blue lake in behind it, just to piss it off.
Sure. I mean, if it's all black, they've made it a lot easier to mask that out.
It's true.
Well, if they make it all black, then why wouldn't you want to have a picture next to a black lake?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's like the one time it was black, I got a picture.
People are going out to travel to see the world's first black lake.
That robot looks like you'd be getting harassed in public by Wall-E.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you bring up how the robot looks, because I was looking at this thinking when we were kids, they promised us all these cool things, including these cool robots. Mm-hmm. This does not look like the robots we were promised. I feel like we've been ripped off.
Luke Fox and I'll make out of Lekka.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of boxy.
Badly.
Yeah. I think the thing is as well is it's the what's envisaged for the future versus what is actually the future. There's a dichotomy there, because this is very boxy and un aerodynamic that you would perceive that it would be. But I remember when we had the gamer show on, cheers on there. He was playing Alien. What's the Alien one where they surprised you? You had to escape the alien off the Nostromo. You went on years later. Alien.
Okay.
Anyway, but he played it with the Oculus Rift on, and he said he his heart rate got up. It was quite scary. When he was walking around, one of the comments was, "God, blimey, computers are shit in the future." Because, of course, all the computers that were in Alien were 1970s. Mm-hmm. And they were also, but, you know, they were just green text of what the computer was like at the time. You're just like, what, there's no graphics in the future? Jesus.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like the computer in Star Trek, same thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, you know what that robot kind of reminds me of? Those little toy cars for kids that they can sit in.
Maybe there is actually a person inside.
Maybe that's what it was.
No, that could be, yeah.
You've actually got the bloke that did R2-D2. Kenny Baker's come back to life, and he's actually inside there driving it.
You know, since Kenny isn't with us anymore, how about Warwick Davis?
Warwick Davis is in there, yes. Warwick, if you're listening, and I know you listen to the show. No, he doesn't. No one listens to this shit. But Warwick Davis is in there driving it and doing the voices and everything.
Mm.
Well, all the acting jobs. There's no acting jobs, is there?
And he's big Tunisian.
He's a talented man.
Obviously.
He's just awesome.
Yeah, he probably doesn't have to say much. Like, just go home.
Yeah, look forward to learning Tunisian.
Ask that dude, hey, can I get a cigarette?
This does sound like you got Sacha Baron Cohen arguing with it. It's Borat. Borat is arguing with it.
Yeah.
What is he saying? Why you want me stopping going? That's got to be a bloke on the other end on a microphone just driving this thing around.
I think it is.
Yeah, probably.
This is a giant remote-controlled car. This is
it just goes around.
This is interesting, though. I've clicked this because this is a Facebook video, and it says, do you want Facebook to click to track your activity? And you're like, no, bollocks. So you click don't allow. It switches the video off, right? No, you're not seeing the video then, bollocks.
Assholes.
You tosspots.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't want to cover your story no more. I think we're going to see an awful lot more of these enforcement robots.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a mall here that has. I mean, it's not an enforcement robot. It's like more an information robot. But there's literally a robot driving around that you can ask like where your store is. It's already a thing.
Wow. So who's providing that?
The mall here, apparently. I don't know whether it's some kind of research project or whatever.
Daleks.
Yeah, maybe.
It was the bloke.
Honestly, it looks like a Dalek. I mean, it's kind of weird.
I can't remember his name. D. It begins with a D. The bloke that was the leader of the Daleks.
Davros.
Davros. Thank you. There we go. Davros. What is your name, Davros?
Maybe it is.
Produced
by Skynet.
Well, all of you are getting these cool robots to help you around the mall or to tell you to buy your cigarettes and go home. All we have are mountain lions, and I'm assuming they're just going to put GoPros on.
Mate, your story earlier on about there's mountain lions and bears roaming around the streets of Boulder because there's no pedestrians at the moment. It's just surreal.
I just saw one from Louisiana, and, you know, post Mardi Gras, the rats are like, you know, oh, this is our Thanksgiving. And then now that everybody got sent home, they're like out in mass. And they showed a video where there's like literally 30, you got to scroll into the middle a little bit, but there's like 30 rats just running around the middle of this one street hunting for food because there's no people to leave stuff around. So they're like, yo, what happened to the snacks, cuz?
Yeah, but they're going to start going into houses to look soon. So make sure you get all the holes.
Yeah, so the city is out trying to, like, you know, bait and switch and, like, catch what they can catch because, it will eventually turn to that. They'll go from downtown where they used to live in, where they're living, you know, high on the hog, so to speak, and then now they have nothing. So they actually
I've got a plan.
Them.
Let's mutate coronavirus so that it attacks the rats. That can't go wrong.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That sounds like the plot for a Resident Evil.
I just totally love that. No, I just totally love that Contagion is at number 2 in the Apple charts for movies at the moment, and it's not on offer either.
It's like right. What the hell?
It would, you know what that would come up with is this new thing called Corona Hunter, because it's the Hunter virus is in the rats, so it'd be like Corona Hunter or Hunter Rona. then it can be a song. My Hunter Rona.
We lost Bill Withers today. I can't believe we lost Bill Withers. 81, good innings, but
what, really?
Yeah, Bill Withers is gone, man.
You know me, that's like one of my favorite cuts.
Yeah, no, ain't no sunshine, mate, because he's gone.
Oh, that's horrible.
I'm not taking the piss by that. That was meant to be a nice pun, but.
No, as a little kid, like, you know, just I guess my older folks around me listening to it, it was one of the voices that I resonated with. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, at our age, you and that one movie came out. What's the name of the movie? It's actually probably called Lean On Me. But all the kids are singing in the classroom. And then that just became like a thing of that particular time. Like everybody around the, you know, planet would get in groups and sing that song.
I love Ain't No Sunshine because you can play it on guitar. It's just the bass note.
Probably my favorite Bill Withers song that's not Lean On Me is Lovely Day.
Lovely Day.
Yeah. Very good song.
That just reminds me of, is it PG Tips?
Lovely Day. I'm sure Bill's flattered at that, Hawa.
Was it Tetley T? One of those.
Yeah, I can never remember the lyrics.
Might be Tetley.
When the day that lies ahead of me seems impossible to take, and something else instead of me always seems to show the way. I sang that once in a band. It was a long time ago, but I do remember the lyrics.
You were in a band?
I was in a band.
Wow.
I sang.
You sang?
I've seen you play the guitar.
I play guitar. Well, yeah.
Oh,
but
that's true, yeah.
That was so. What Callum's referring to is that I sat down yesterday morning. And I got a thing and I decided I was going to play the guitar and sing something to it. And I sat down and as soon as they said, oh, Ewan, I'm like, oh, shit. And I picked it up. I forgot how to play the guitar. I've only been playing it for 35 years. What a wanker.
Ewan, just for you, I dropped a couple photos that a friend of mine took of the mountain lions.
Oh,
they're the cool things. Nice. In Slack.
Nice.
Oh, in Slack. Right, I can't get them out of Slack. That's the only problem. Oh, shit, they're up trees. It's like they're looking down on you.
Well, yeah. Where the one that's looking down is looking, it's into someone's backyard, and the people have a small dog. So the mountain lion was just watching for the dog to come out and be a snack.
Wow.
No.
Scooby snack.
I thought I had a picture of the mountain lions walk, the three of them walking down the street together, but I can't find it. Sorry.
Jeez.
They're sitting there whistling to Bill Withers.
Uh-oh. Oh, what just happened?
I got it. Hang on. No, here we go. I can get this on. I can totally do this. Oh, no, I can't. I'm awake. There we go. That's the picture of the mountain lion sitting up a tree waiting for the dog. They're probably a bit hungry. Here we go. And there's the next one with it by the house. That's how high it is. If it drops on a dog from that height, the dog's got no chance. Are they going to attack Are they going to attack humans? Do the mountain lions sue? Well, did his family sue? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the left behinds.
See, and you can't even call the Tiger King to come and get him because now he's in jail.
Microsoft's Edge browser. This is an interesting story. I don't know who this is, but Microsoft's Edge browser is now more popular than Firefox, and it's gaining on Chrome.
Nice.
Yeah, apparently the new Edge browser is.
Is this your story, Atlee, before you start talking?
Yeah.
All right, good man.
No, I thought I'd jump in because I'm tired of not talking.
Oh, that's not like you, though. To be fair, we're normally telling you to shut up.
Anyways, no. Apparently, Microsoft's new browser has already got more market share than the old browser, and it's got more market share than Safari and Internet Explorer.
Well, Internet Explorer wouldn't be a high bar, but Chrome is a high bar.
Well, no, if you look at all the instances of Windows 7 still out there, right?
How do they measure popularity? It's the most popular browser. Well, what does that mean? Is it the one that people kind of fill out a form and saying, I really like this?
No, they look at different metrics of different sites and what's accessing different sites. They can tell which browsers are accessing the sites.
Yeah, but do you know anyone who actually uses Edge deliberately?
Have you not tried Edge?
Instead of by mistake.
Have you not tried Edge for Mac?
Deliberately.
Oh, Edge for Mac is slick as snot, mate. It is fast.
And it doesn't have the constant tracking that Chrome has.
It's basically, I
give up Chrome.
A lot of the tracking stripped out and a different UI that makes it a little cleaner.
I gave up Chrome for Firefox for that reason, because Firefox has really good tracking, blocking and stuff, but then what actually turned me back to Firefox, which I had ignored for years, was Firefox Focus is the iOS browser, and it deletes everything when you close it. So whenever you leave the window, when you come back, if any pages you close, they just go bye-bye, so you don't have to worry about stuff just like creeping around on your phone.
Yeah.
And it always, like Ewan just did seconds ago, it tells you, hey, someone's trying to track you, or Facebook Pixel is here, or some other, you know, Google AdSense thing. But yeah, I didn't even know that they had Edge for the Mac at this point.
No, it's just my experience is when you're in a group of people and you're trying to show them how to use some software, and they can have 10 different browsers set up, and whichever one is set as the default, then they try and open up something online, and suddenly, badong, Edge launches. No one asked it to do it. It just launches anyways. There's no way of stopping it. Nor, like, you know, and the first thing they do is, oh, bloody hell, what's this thing? And they quit it. In the meantime, over on Microsoft servers, a popularity index has gone ka-ching.
Mm-hmm. They must have selected it as default.
Is that on Windows? This is different. This isn't the one that's built into the operating system. The one that you're talking about is if you do a search from your taskbar or any of the searches from your start menu, that's when that Edge, the one that's built into the operating system, would automatically get fired.
So they're both called Edge, but they're different. They're both
called Edge, yes, because Microsoft is stupid. But
so basically, they're counting popularity of two programs rather than one.
It's not. The new Edge browser is a completely different browser, and it actually identifies as a different browser. It identifies as a different version of Edge. Like there's a way of telling which one it is. Edge identifies as Edge. This one identifies as Edge with the Chromium engine.
Mm-hmm. I have Edge on my Mac. It's very good. I use it a lot.
Yeah.
The only three browsers I have is Safari, Brave, and Edge, and I like all of them.
And realistically, even if they were counting the usage of the original Edge, the old Edge, it wouldn't count for much anyways. It only had a 1 or 2% like popularity market. Like it wasn't enough to weight this 7% that much.
I hated Edge on Windows machines. I didn't use it at all. When I have to use Windows, I use actually still your generic Internet Explorer for some reason and Chrome if I use anything.
Apparently Mr. Batwinch has cried out from the cupboard, Edge is awesome. There we go.
I need to check out the one for Mac because I didn't realize that they had one for Mac.
No, Edge for Mac.
It's really good. It's really, really good.
It's slick as snot.
That and Brave, they're the only three browsers I have, Safari, Brave, and Edge, and all three are very good.
Mm. Yeah, Brave is amazing, and then I still keep the Tor Onion browser around for just in case something weird I want to check out. Someone sends a link I don't trust. You know, you get an email that looks real, but then kind of looks weird at the same time. I always copy and paste those and drop them into the Onion.
But I mean, the thing with browsers is that they've all got something that they do really well, but then there's always another browser that does something else that better. Yeah. So it's like, you know, Opera is really good for a few things. Then Safari is good for a couple of things. Edge is fast. Chrome is actually okay if you want to run anything that's got Flash associated with it. They've all got something to offer, but the thing is no one's actually pulled anything out yet and no one's replaced anything with Flash. Everyone goes on about slagging off Flash, but actually the web is still very heavily Flash oriented. It's still...
Is it?
No, yeah. There's still a lot of stuff out there, man.
I haven't seen any Flash site other than the BTN live stream in years.
Thanks, man.
Does the BTC not have Flash still on some...
I've still got Flash uploaders for sites for customers.
If you have an O2 mobile phone on a business contract, their billing and management is still on a completely Flash-based site.
Wow,
yeah, that's where I see
terrible.
It.
It's absolutely awful. Mm. But I think part of the reason they've kept it is that in its own strange way, it's secure because it can't be searched.
Yeah, and it is quicker. I mean, you look at the transcoding of stuff, then Flash does tend to do a better job.
Well, it's ultimately compiled binary, so that, as I say, it can't be, you know, it can't be sucked into Google or a search engine because it's just ones and zeros.
Back when she's saying is Opera out there, Opera was the browser. All tabbing started in Opera. There was Opera has often been. And most often been, nearly always been, the browser leader with features. Mm-hmm. If you don't subscribe to anything else, subscribe to Opera because it'll probably be cutting edge apart and well ahead of the rest.
Yep, that's definitely true.
I only just stopped using Opera recently. It's a very good browser. I mean, I've still got it installed on my Mac. I just don't really use it. I mean, one of the nice features with Opera as well, it comes with its own VPN, I believe.
Mm-hmm. How does it?
Built in, I don't think it's too specific. I think you can only kind of choose which continent you want to appear on. But
you can get Opera for iOS as well.
Yeah,
does Opera still do the thing where all of your browsing traffic routes through their servers?
Don't know.
That's why I wouldn't use it years ago.
Damn Europeans.
They do this thing where they optimize all of your content, mm-hmm. and so you get better performance. And the fact that every single activity you were doing online was being processed by their servers, incoming and outgoing, that just like really turned me off. So
yeah, like most anymore, mobile,
I'll check it yeah. out.
Yeah, most mobile email programs do that, don't they?
Not really, not anymore.
Okay, if you say so. Edge is a good browser. There's no question that, and it's good on Mac. And I'm not going to slag it off. As much as I'm a Mac user, I'm not going to slag it off. It's well worth having at least a trial of. But like I said, you find browsers that do things. You know, you find the browser that fits you, fits your operation, fits the way of life that you've got, fits the thing that you're most accustomed to using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Next story: Zoom faces privacy. I said this on the Mac show today. We did a little who fancies going down the virtual pub thing with everyone in the Slack room. So I posted the link out, and I made the mistake of posting it publicly, and of course we got bombed straight away. Then I set a private one up that wasn't anyone else, and we still got bombed. And I was like, wow, that's not cool. And I was talking to a woman yesterday. I was saying, well, Zoom's not secure. She said, why? I said, well, we had this guy turn up in the thing. There was a group of us talking. Guy turned up, started showing pornography and shouting obscenities. So I kicked him, and she said, well, how did you know? I said, well, there was a woman having sex with a bloke with an enormous penis, so I'm pretty sure it was porn. She was like, no. How do you know which one to kick? I said, well, there's only four of us in the thing, and the one that wasn't a real name was kind of like obvious. But I've noticed it in the last week because Zoom has got a 560% increase in traffic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The problem with that security issue, and I understand it's a huge problem. I'm not going to slag it off, but here's the reason why it's dumb. Because the population has not been properly trained by folks like us. When you have anything that generates an automatic password for you, even if it looks secure, change it anyway. Mm-hmm. Don't just take the default. And so what the hack is they figured out the calculation that creates the meeting ID and the default password. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other thing, which is super irritating. Zoom, and I don't really care, I don't have any love for them or hate for them or whatever, but they're getting the heat, and all of the platforms have the same problem. Why? Because they all use the same library to generate that auto meeting ID, auto password, because all of this was stolen from an open source password program years ago before LogMeIn and everybody else jumped in. So if you start a meeting and you change the password, you're safe. If you start a meeting and you change the PMI or personal meeting ID and the password, you're strong. So it's very simple, and you should do that anyway. But the general population doesn't know these things, whereas we do. But obviously we don't, because our buddy Ewan just took the default one and posted it. So we set an improper example. That I'll personally take the hit. All of us tech people, it's on us, because we should be teaching folks never accept the default.
There is another issue though, because Zoom is saying that it's end to end encryption, and it's not. It's only secure socket, nothing more.
Yeah, it's pretty crappy.
Did you do the update though? Because they did.
No, it's still not end to end.
Even today?
Yeah, it's still not end to end. It's just secure.
No. The only thing that the update does, as far as I can see, is it switched off the ability to share files between participants.
Yeah, because that was the malware issue, wasn't it?
You mean switch it off default so the owner can still put it back on if he wishes?
Yeah.
No, the feature's been removed altogether. You can't even see it in your preferences.
Oh, I remember.
I think it might be a pay-only feature. They might have taken it off and made it so that pay accounts can only do it.
Okay, because I have it in my...
No.
Yeah, I have it too.
Ali's,
it's even gone what? For everybody.
Ali's posted a link there in the chat room for an article on the Register for Zoom Security Improvements. If you want to see any of the links that we post on the show, then go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to 3rd of April, and you'll be able to see them. Sorry, Alec, carry on.
Yeah, the update that came out today, I believe it also changes the way the installer works for Mac yes. users, so that mm-hmm. it's not installing as if it's actual malware.
Yeah.
Batwitch loves it when you get all masterful, Doc.
Thank you.
Just throw that out there.
I'll take it. Can I get that outright, mate? Can I get paid for that right now? Because how do I start it? Angrymasterfulblokes.com.
Oh my god!
DSO host, I need you.
It was fine up until the desperation move at the end with Masterful. Mm.
I mean, it was bound to happen. The thing with Zoom. I mean, honestly, all video services are kind of the same and bad. Like, I mean, Skype isn't any better. Hangouts isn't any better. Like, they all have their issues. It's literally because we're in this time where, like, everybody all of a sudden has to use video, like, video solutions, that there's an, like, increased focus. And, I mean, as you said, the whole meeting ID generation and the password thing, I mean, we know better, but, I mean, it was super easy to figure out. Like, it wasn't very difficult, and it was about...
So we know Patrice did it.
No, I didn't. Like, I literally only heard about it, like, after the fact, even. I didn't even know this. But, I mean, if you look at the meeting IDs, I mean, they're super easy to guess. Like, you just need a random number generator and, like, just try.
Yeah,
it's not difficult.
I wasn't upset.
Like, they're really short.
The person that came, there were several people came in. Some of them tried to have a sensible conversation. Others didn't. And the porn they showed was excellent. It was really good.
I was going to ask you, how good was it?
It was good porn. I can't complain.
Well, at least they brought you a quality product.
I'm not suggesting the acting was particularly good, but...
What you watch it for, is it really?
No, exactly.
Was there a bloke delivering a pizza? That's all we want to start with. Or was he a pool guy?
Luckily, I remember...
I remember
we got other people in the room, so it was all right. All good. we're not going to solve Zoom's problems, I don't think, by discussing this any further, because mm-hmm. they've got some issues. But
if you look at the fact that they've had such a great uptick in their user base and the number of users and the popularity of it and the mentioning of it in all sorts of social spheres, everything from websites, blogs, television, everything else, it was bound to attract attention. And as soon as it attracted attention, obviously the vulnerabilities will become drastically apparent.
Totally.
Yeah, it's shameful that this kind of situation brings out the worst in the people who tend to exploit things like this. And it I guess it bothers me more, because it's bad enough these guys do this all the time, but like right now we're in a situation globally where everyone has other things to worry about. Why are you out here scamming people? Sending me emails.
When has hackers ever had anything that is socially responsible? Never. Socially engineered, yeah, but not socially responsible. There's people sending out stuff saying, if you get a phone call from this number, if you dial it back, they can hack your SIM and get all your contacts. How are they doing that then? If you dial a phone number, how is it giving you access to all your contacts? That's just bollocks. It's just chainmail shite that's cluttering up the internet. And it's out there at the moment. I've had three that have come up in the rugby club chat room. I'm like, that's utter bollocks. That could happen. What are you talking about?
We just lost you. We've lost you there for a second.
Yeah, I don't know why. Am I back?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, no, okay. I don't know what happened there. But it's just, there's no physical way that can happen. It's just not doable. So stop talking about it. And it's just chain letter clogging the net with bollocks.
With dumb stuff. And it just scares people.
It does, yeah.
But if anything that's good that's coming out of it, and I'm hoping here, like, we have a huge traffic problem because we have a small island with a metric crap ton of people on it. I'm hoping that what comes out of this is more companies realize what remote workers can do. A large segment of us do remote work all the time. I'm hoping that the positives of remote work and, you know, giving people more time to be at home with their family and still, you know, get quality product done becomes more apparent. So that's one of the things I'm hoping comes out of this.
Howard, are you having a separate shoes discussion with Batwinch in the chat room?
Yeah.
You're talking about
platform.
Yeah, we do. Oh.
I'm sorry if this show's interrupting your social time. Who's got the next story then?
Whose turn is it?
I don't mind throwing mine in.
Just whoever's next, just throw it in there. It's an open forum.
Let me grab the link.
Anyone,
mine was the Zoom story, so I'm quickly trying to find my backup.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I'm sorry I stole your story.
Oh, what the hell
but
are you
only
doing?
A little bit.
Why are you putting an Apple News link in? That does not open in a browser. That is not show friendly.
Well, it's something I got sent with me, so.
It'll open with Edge because that's fantastic.
All right, point made.
I'm going to download Edge after this.
I just did. I'm sitting here looking at it. It's amazing.
I can explain the story to you.
Callum, you've brought a son story to a knife fight.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. Woman finds her new phone 8 months after dropping it in the Thames.
2 months. It's an iPhone 8 in 2 months. So basically what I wanted to say about this story was I think it's very impressive the kind of durability improvements we're seeing in kind of devices that have been released in the past, I'd say probably 5 or 6 years, the way it's gone from, you know, if you look at an iPhone the wrong way, the screen will crack, to you can throw it in a river for 2 months and still be able to get your photos back off it. I think it's quite impressive.
I'm presuming that it's taken her 2 months to find a boyfriend who's got a sieve that he can put on a mop hole to help her out.
Is he another member of the Johnson family?
Oh, God, yeah.
He's very bleached, isn't he?
I love the way that I've managed to take this podcast from colonies on Mars to a man with a sieve.
A sieve shoved in a mop pole. who's done the knightly thing, mate. He's totally an honourable chap, and he's retrieved his new girlfriend, because it took it 2 months for her to find him. You can imagine in a bar.
Get the phone back.
Are you coming out with me tonight? Well, have you got a sieve and a mop that you can shove it into?
Yeah. There's a very entertaining Facebook group that's entitled People in Local Newspapers Holding Things. And this is just ideal.
I've seen that. It's very good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my thought here is that if you look at the mop handle and the sieve, there's no way that phone wasn't visible from the shore. And the fact that she stood and looked at it for 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite funny if you actually read the story. They found it on the bank, so I don't know why you'd need that anyway.
Well, I'm just wondering also, is this the durability of a person being able to try and come up with a popular story? So
maybe he was just carrying the sieve as he does, you know, just
the phone
had it with
felt,
him at the time.
It's an important bit of kit to carry around, I think.
The phone fell
is a sieve strainer.
The phone fell out of her pocket and into the swollen Thames. Show me your swollen Thames.
that's your Zoom bomber, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So she's
also a podcast title, by the sounds of it.
It's taken her 2 months to find a tall enough bloke to reach out far enough and realise it's still on the bank anyway. So it hasn't, has it shrunk back? She's got pictures of him on there, look, see?
See, they're an item for ages.
That
anyway.
Was their first date. She picked him just in case she lost her phone.
In a Weatherspoons, by the look of it, so it can't be that serious. Yeah.
And she hadn't bothered to back up her phone.
That looks like an office printer.
She had thousands of pictures, not backed up. So the important lesson here is first,
back
your
phone
and bring
it to IMAX.
And then follow that up with, if you can see your phone from the shore, you don't need to leave it in the water for 2 months.
Maybe she
can't. The point I was trying to make was, despite their obvious stupidity, the phone still survived, which I was quite impressed with.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's not funny.
I don't know if this actually talks about, if this is really the phone surviving that long. I don't think the phone was in the water that long, if at all.
Well, when the river calmed down, the couple spotted the phone. It was in the same place, sitting at the bottom like a rock. Well, How was she wading in the water when she fell out of her pocket?
Maybe.
Last Wednesday, we went for a walk and James said, show me where you dropped it. That's a new line.
We looked
in the river and there it was. Unbelievable. James, a Waitrose delivery driver, critical worker. As the river was calm, see the iPhone clearly.
Look at that. They had a photographer available when they actually found it. Look at that. It's amazing.
So James bought a Civ and a mop.
This sounds way too fishy.
James bought a Civ and a mop.
It's not a high-quality paper.
The Sun, oh, hell no.
Yeah, so that's a picture. I think the story merits the paper it's in.
The picture of the guy fishing the phone out, that looks so staged. So my guess is that the newspaper took them back out and said, pose
with the phone.
Put the phone.
How funny would it have been if they've been posing and dropped with it again. Sitting with it over the river and they dropped it back in the river and couldn't get it out?
Oh, that would
please
be awesome.
Bring the exact sieve and the exact mop that you brought with. So they'd gone out for a nice random romantic walk along the banks and James
with
said,
the mop in his, and a
show
a
me where you dropped it. And he's pulled out a mop.
I'll be right back. I watched MacGyver yesterday.
And a sieve out of his pocket and gone, I brought this just in case, love.
What I love is that if he was her boyfriend and she mentioned that her phone had dropped in the Thames, it took him 2 months before he'd be bothered to walk to the river.
I think that took 2 months for the water to recede. So what's she done for the last 2 months? Has she just...
How far did she throw it out in the river?
Well, I don't know, but it's been at the bottom of the river for 2 months and she put it in a bowl of rice.
As one does.
Which I would like to say is an urban myth and doesn't usually work. Yeah.
I'm not even going to down myth. The path of the guy's surname is James Tongue. That's not happening.
Surprising, that's the only innuendo they have in the whole story.
It is, being the sun.
The thing that really frightens me.
Well, I was thinking instead of it saying, you know, woman loses phone, it should have been, you know, lovely Rita has lost her phone, lovely pair of apps, you know, and all that.
I love the way that the story ends saying, got a story. Well, you obviously don't, do you, the sun? So,
yeah.
Awful.
Enjoy your 15 minutes. Right, moving on. Who's next? Oh, mate, I'm trying to think of show titles around the phone, the droppage, the James Tongue thing. It's just...
I'm never coming on the big show again. Obviously doesn't work.
Alistair, have you got a story, mate, or has everyone done one?
No, I do have a story, but it's a bit roundabout. Basically, I was interested in when we started the lock-in, so we started about a week and a bit before the UK, the first thought that went through my head and everyone else's head is, this will be an opportunity to get some DIY done. And you only have to think about it for 2 seconds and think, actually, this happens every weekend anyway. People do their DIY and then fall off and break something and end up in hospital. Yeah. And this isn't a good time to end up in hospital for various reasons. Mm-hmm. So I was then fascinated at the number of people that did it anyway. And they've been peering in the news and on websites constantly of the various stupid things people are doing who've never done DIY before have suddenly started doing it during the lock-in. Now, I posted a link. I'm sorry, it's from a French newspaper, but this one I quite enjoyed. Basically, a guy decided this was a great opportunity to start digging around in the cellar of his house, whereupon he found a skeleton. And it was a human skeleton.
Oh, no. Ooh,
wow. A previous owner of the house somehow has managed to bury someone, and the police got involved. And I thought that was quite fun. But what it was leading up to was, I'm sure some of you might have seen this. I'll just post the link in now, which does have more. So I've just posted another link. This is from The Guardian, in fact, from Australia. Someone else who decided not quite DIY, but felt a bit of a loose end. while he was stuck indoors. So this guy ended up inserting magnets up his nostrils while building a necklace that warns you when you touch your face. So an astrophysicist ended up in hospital with super powerful magnets that could not be removed from his nose. I won't go into the details of why, but he was just clearly very, very bored. He thought he could build a device that if you bring your hand to your face would reject and push your hand away. Super high magnets, powerful magnets. Anyway, they went further up his nose, and what I liked was they ended up giving him painkillers, an anesthetic, managed to basically extract one of the powerful magnets from one nostril with pliers, whereupon the other one immediately fell down the back of his throat, which he then coughed up because he said, I think that could have been a problem if I'd swallowed that one. But yeah,
yes.
So maybe stumbling off a ladder didn't seem quite so bad. I don't think I would ever be quite that bad.
And you said astrophysicist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. These are the people who are going to Mars, right?
Someone who couldn't do the basic math, that was a really crap idea.
It's an applied intelligence. It's not a general intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably looked good on also, paper. Like the math worked out.
But the thing also is quite enjoyed like that studies forces.
this is why he started, but I like the fact they took a photograph of him in bed looking grumpy, and why they couldn't have got him to hold, he could have held a sieve up or something, I don't know. But
was that posed afterwards? Was that when the Sun photographer took him back and said, try and look how you looked when you had a magnet stuck up your nose?
Yeah. Yeah, look grumpy.
Mm-hmm. He was probably afraid the sieve would stick to his face, so he didn't carry it with him.
Try and look grumpy with a touch of magnetic,
I'm
trying to come up with a good magnetic personality joke, but it's just not coming together yet.
I think he deserves one, to be fair.
It depends on whether he's a polarizing character or not.
Oh,
see, there we go. Well done.
Good one.
I've just got the thing. He passed out from the lack of oxygen, fell in the river, and they pulled him out with like one of those car magnet things, and he's just clamped with his nose.
Now with a sieve attached to a mop.
And they put him in a bag of rice.
Someone dropped a bag of iron filings and they all went whoosh. There he is.
Oh, it's like that game when you were a kid, the iron filings thing.
Doctor, will he live? Yes, just put him in a bag of rice, he'll be fine.
Yeah, and then even after 2 months, you can get the photos off.
Hey, just know that guys like that are rare of this earth.
Moving on. Jesus.
What, with magnets?
I knew the jokes were there, I just couldn't find them. I'm glad you're here for me, Doc.
No, we do. Us Americans got to stick together.
This podcast and all the other shit that we produce on this network is supported by TSO Host. We love them. You've got to get out there, get on the socials, send out a message that says thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. If we don't get that, we're going under because they give us two massive servers that help us deal with all the old content and all the new rubbish that we make and the live server, and we go under. Simple as that without them. So please, 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 or worse still, we'd be using Atlas space at 10 megabits a second. So please support them. They're absolutely brilliant. Out on socials with thanks at TSO Host Support at British Tech. And we're happy and they're happy. It's all you need to do. And also IMN Max, Callum's here. He did the big show, the Mac show earlier on. He's got a whole pile of machines that you can get if you want refurbished machines. If your device that's broken has got an Apple logo on it, they can fix it. Doesn't matter how far back it goes. PowerBook 100 is ready to be fixed, and they've got the parts in already to fix it. I just haven't been able to go over and drop the computer off. But anything can be done by them that's got an Apple logo on it. Data recovery as well, and refurbished Macs and all kinds of stuff. Get in touch with them at imenmax on Twitter. And so again, get out there and say thank you for them supporting the network too. Imenmax.com will sort you out. They are brilliant. And even if you're in Europe, France or Austria, you can still ship it to them and they'll ship it back to you. And if you're a BTN user, quote BTN and you will get a 5% discount on your price.
Nice.
Right then, everyone, it is time for the cool thing. Mr. Dabs, start us off.
Okay, I had two quick cool things just in case they just weren't quite cool enough. I have done. Huawei, I think, are trying to clear the decks of all their Huawei GT2 watches that they must have made a couple of years ago. They must have tons and tons of them.
Right.
So they're kind of giving them away with free with phones and stuff. And they're also selling them increasing discounts. Every month, they seem to be offering more and more of a discount. So I picked one up myself, which I thought would be good fun. So got myself a Huawei phone, quite nice. It's nothing special. It's not terribly expensive. In fact, it's getting cheaper all the time now. So that was partly my cool thing. I know we were talking watches last time, Ewan.
Yeah.
And you'd been saying that how disappointed you were with the lack of longevity of these smartphones before they kind of render them useless by changing the operating system.
Yeah, I mean, 18 months of the Apple Watch wasn't good.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's going to happen with Huawei one way or another. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe it won't work at all. Maybe it won't have any Android on it at all. Who knows? But I thought, well, just get one of these, the little play thing, and
they're quite pricey, though. Fine. It's €220.
Full price, yeah.
Yeah,
but you know, at the moment it's not 50 off.
Yeah, no.
And I reckon if you wait 4 weeks, it'll be knock 70 off. And if you wait another 2 months, it'll be knock 100 off.
Yeah.
So I think they've just got loads and loads of them they're trying to get rid of. So hang on, look out for the price. This is direct from Huawei, by the way. If you try and get it from Amazon, you still get the full price. But they've obviously got something in mind, so they're emptying warehouses. The other cool thing, really, that was properly cool, was I noticed that the National Theatre in London had properly opened up a YouTube channel, which I've just posted the link in. Because no one can go to the theatre, what they've done is they've dragged up a bunch of previous popular productions that they filmed professionally. Now you can just sit down and watch them. So this is a very, very rare opportunity to see James Corden when he used to be funny.
Very good.
The original One Man, Two Governors.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of the ballets and that kind of stuff have put that out, but they're all just showing it in bloody 480p shitter vision. The audio is lovely, but the visuals are just crap, and it's just like, oh, come on. Oh, yeah, but someone might steal them. Oh, give over. Don't give it away for free, then, you morons. Excellent picks, mate. Thank you very much. Callum, have you got a cool thing for us, mate?
Yes, just pop it in there. So it's quite a simple one. It's a laptop stand that I brought actually about a week ago. It's actually portable as well, which is quite nice. It comes with a nice little carry case, so it can go pretty much up to, I think, about 70 degrees. And it's actually, I'd say, only about 10 inches across. I've got a 13-inch MacBook Pro on it, and it seems to handle that absolutely fine. So it's nice if you kind of, as I am now, I've got an iMac in front of me and my MacBook to the left of me. So it's nice to have that propped up. So
the Duronic laptop stand, DML131, $11.99 on eBay.
Mm-hmm. I've been very impressed with it for the money.
No, it's incredible, yeah.
Yeah, I only brought it just because I needed something at home. So, it's been really good. Only very simple, but nice. Excellent. All the same.
No, good stuff. Good pick. How or what have you got for us?
Right, I'm going to find it now. I don't know if anyone's already posted this, as in you had it on the Mac, but Marvel's making some of its comics free for a month, since we're all stuck in.
Oh. Everyone's just picking free stuff that they've stolen off the net.
Mm. I do have another thing I wanted to post as well. Okay. So this one's not free. Bear with me. It's because I was looking for something for my godson, because his birthday's coming soon, and he likes these micro cars.
Right.
And there's a book collection, which I think it's only about, what, £27 or something? I think you can still get it on Amazon. I think it's the same price. It just comes from the bit bitmaps books as well, but it's a collection of all these microcars, and I think it's got about, is it 400? It's roughly about 400 pages. So if anyone's into microcars.
I know them.
Do you love those, Alistair? Is that what you just said?
My son used to like those. We are talking over 20 years ago.
Micro machines, got you. Yeah, I remember those. God.
Yeah. And each page with the card toss spec gives you a bit of spec, and I think there's a little bit of history, just a tiny bit. But yeah, it was something I was looking for him, so I thought, oh, not too bad. Add that in.
Yeah, you would have loved that, I tell you.
That's awesome.
Great.
26 night.
Sorry, you and you gone.
Hello, am I back?
Welcome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what on earth is that? I get a message on the screen, and then it says. Okay. Unbelievable. Micro Machines, 26.99, available for pre-order, will ship on the 27th of April. So, good pick, Howard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next one, Atlee. You're on mute.
Just put it in there already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figure there's a... As a point of humor, I just thought it was rather funny. I went and got a couple of shirts. This one's pretty awesome. This company's actually got a lot of really great shirts, and I bought from them before.
Are you there?
Yep, he's muted again.
He's mute.
You're on mute again. Why have you gone on mute?
On mute.
And you got on mute again.
There you go. Is that better?
Now you're off. Yeah, there we go. Yep.
Okay. Anyways, I've bought a couple of shirts from these people, and the quality of the garments are really good, and the sayings are usually pretty hilarious. They make a ton of different shirts.
So for those of you that are on audio only, it's I'm a programmer. I've been socially distancing for years on the front of a black T-shirt. So £20.41. So it's a UK purchase. Well, hey.
No, you got UK price.
Oh, right. Okay.
And that costs a lot more than what I paid for it. I paid $25 US.
Are we doing well against the dollar or not?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Who knows?
Anyways, I figured you'd like them, Ewan, because there's a bunch of stuff in there about audio.
Thanks, man. Bastard.
No, they've got a lot of great shirts, and like I said, and you can get it as a hoodie and get it as a tank top, you know.
Thanks, mate. Whatever you want. It's all right. Don't keep talking because you're dead to me now. Who posted the visible on television?
That was me.
All right, so that's your next anyway, so that's perfect.
Yeah, Spartan. Okay, awesome. This is a Apple TV show. Has been actually out for, I think, a month or two. It's on Apple TV Plus, which everybody can get. Like, it's not, you don't have to have an Apple device, which is why I picked it on the show. This is about the LGBTQ movement in, like, throughout the history of American television. Very, very interesting to see, like, from the really early days of television, where basically, I mean, what Star Trek did was kind of like the best you could do. Like, basically everything was forbidden. And it goes like to this day, and it's very interesting. There's a lot of like really cool and interesting people. I mean, there's Ellen DeGeneres, obviously. There's Neil Patrick Harris. There is the producers, actually, or one of the producers is Wilson Cruz, who plays a gay character on Star Trek Discovery, for example. It is super, super interesting. It's a like a mini docu-series, like five episodes or four episodes. I just really enjoyed it. I had been putting it off for a little while simply because there was so much else to watch. But the other day I just watched all of them like in a row, and they were really, really well produced, really interesting to see like how things changed and like a lot of insights from like people who were going through those things and who are living in those times and trying to navigate like the whole topic in an environment, television, where basically, like, even, like, they couldn't even tell anybody, or even if someone knew, like, it was, they were risking their careers. I mean, just look at what happened to Ellen DeGeneres. Like, it's said, it's super interesting, and I said a lot of great people and great actors and actresses.
Excellent.
It's so good to see her winning right now, because she just threw it all back in the face of everybody who was pushing her back. But what's amazing about her is she does it from a position of, it's okay that you acted like that. I'm not going to be evil to you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be as nice as possible to as many other people to show you that, you know, I am not what you thought I was. And that's just not normal. Like, normally people go from this position of being pushed to just being fighty and then fight everyone. And she's just like, I'm just going to reverse that. So she's so amazing. And her shows, like during Christmas, when she's doing the give every stuff away to all these people for like that week of Christmas, you got a bunch of grown folks sitting in the house crying because Ellen's just like, you know, wrapping your strings. So she's such an amazing individual and like a beacon of light, you know, for what people could be if they learn to act like a normal individual.
Yeah, exactly. So is that like all, like everybody they interviewed, I mean, they had, what's his name, Star Trek? Zulu?
George Takei.
George Takei, exactly. Like, they have him on and he talks about like the whole Star Trek experience a lot. It's super, super interesting. Like, there's never like a boring minute in that like very short show. I mean, it's only 5 episodes.
Yeah, okay, good. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, first, I find it funny that Atlee picked a t-shirt, because I did too. So my t-shirt comes from T-Fury. And it's been sitting in a package in my place for 72 hours while I waited for my decontamination phase. Mm-hmm. And I pulled it out just a little bit ago. And it's a shirt that's appropriate for the time. So it's Professor Farnsworth from Futurama saying, I don't want to live on this planet anymore, which is a wonderful quote from the show. And the shirt is just great. So
I'm amazed we haven't seen Elon Musk wearing that shirt.
Yeah. You could move to the moon.
Yeah. So anyhow, I love the shirt, and pulling it out of the package and getting to look at it. Well, T-Fury, they do quality shirts anyhow, but it looks great.
Doc, you came in late. Have you got a cool thing that you want to do, or you?
Yes, I do. With this random coronavirus thing, but it's nothing to do with that. So, doing a lot of Zoom meetings, and as you can tell by my milky substrate here, that I've been using my mirrorless camera fed into a cam link and using, you know, a lens that allows me to do depth of field, get good clarity versus what's built in. So one of the problems is, though, as you know, with a certain brand of mirrorless camera that rhymes with Tony, they come with the world's crappiest last 15-minute batteries. So
yeah, they are shit.
Is something known as a blind spot by Power Junkies. So what this does is, this is all it comes with, and then you get like a little D-tap. So my D-tap, I have the W battery replacement. So I shove this up the camera's bum, and really cool, it has a quarter 20 here on the back. But then I bust out an L-series battery, very common for lights and things like that. Put this guy onto here in the right direction.
Next one along.
Huh?
You missed it?
Yeah, I always do that. Okay, now it's on there. Anyway, the point is, once you put the battery on, this guy and this guy connected to that camera will run that camera for darn near 8 hours.
Oh, cool.
Right? So they come in Canon, they come in Nikon, they come in Fuji, they have all the various cameras. What's really dope about the quarter 20 is you can take a magic arm or something else and strap it along to your, you know, tripod. If you don't have a tripod, say you're like running gun, but you're going to be videoing a lot, there's a hot shoe guy right here. So you can take something like this, you know, mount it to your hot shoe. And it doesn't have to be cameras. You know, this is for my lav. If I have a situation where I need a lav or a shotgun or something to run all day, there are USB outs right there. And then there's the USB-C and mini USB there. So you have a bunch of different power options, but the amount of energy that comes out of one of these like L-series batteries is pretty amazing. So with the Power Junkie, if you do any type of field recording or filming or whatever, it's like you can put yourself out there for a decent amount of time. And what's really great is once you take the battery off, oh, it does have a meter to tell you how much juice you have in your external battery. Once you take the battery off, you basically are carrying this and whatever small size DTAP that you need.
Cool. Good.
So, and they're prices, pretty cheap.
Yeah, Blind Spot Power Junkie is $57.50. Power Junkie dummy battery is £25, and the Blind Spot Gear LSU NP battery is £45.
Yeah, and I had a whole bunch of these just from way back with my other Sony, you know, video camera. So I didn't have to buy batteries. I literally just bought these two pieces.
Excellent, mate. Thank you.
Amazing.
Where can we get a hold of you, Alistair?
Sorry, just clicking the wrong button there in the wrong program.
It's all right, mate.
You can't find me anywhere at the moment. I'm at a loose end, so I thought I'd... launch a blog, so next time I'm on I'll tell you where that is.
All right, mate, that'd be good, no problem at all. Nice to have you, mate, thank you for coming along. How or where would you be?
Excuse me,
oops,
I caught something there. I will be on Twitter as Harry A, and you can also find me in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate, thank you. At Lee, where would you be? You're on mute, by the way.
You can reach me at Atlee Hunter on social media, and you can reach me in the Slack room.
I'm impressed with all with your Zoom etiquette all going on mute when you've not really been noisy anyway. Oh, he's gone back in mute. All right. Patrice, where are you be? He has gone back in mute as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm every week here on the Mac Show and the Big Show. I also started a new podcast. We literally recorded the first episode yesterday, Doc and I. Great episode. You can definitely look forward to that. It's called Foodie Flashback. It's about food and your food-related memories. We talked about a lot of different things. So go to foodieflashback.com and subscribe. And if you're interested and want to join the show, if you got any stories to tell, there are no limitations, anything, any memories, anything food-related, any stories that you can tell, then reach out to me also on Twitter at foodieflashback, and we'll set something up.
Excellent.
And everything I do and all the links are on thepatrice.com.
Thank you. Callum, where are you?
Yes, you can get a hold of me at I'm Max. So go to I'm Max on Twitter, all of the usual socials. Go to our website and give us a ring if you have any questions. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum if you've got any questions for me. I'm in the staff room as well.
So, excellent. Thank you. Cheers. And Jeff?
I am at textexpander.com and on Twitter and Instagram, I am Jay Gamut, and I am on all the podcasts apparently, and sign up for the free Text Expander webinars I do, because they're a lot of fun to do, and I love getting the really interesting questions that people come up with.
Thank you, sir. Cheers. And finally, Doc, where are you?
You can find me all over the internet at D-O-C-R-O-C-K. The blog and the YouTube channel is at Doc Rock Tips. And Patrice, thanks for the first episode. It was great. I went out immediately and got doner kebabs because we were talking about food, and I was having flashbacks.
Are they the same as doner kebabs here in the UK, but someone else actually has given a kidney for them?
Yeah. Basically, I think that's what it is. Some kind of mystery meat on yellow rice with white sauce.
A doner kebab.
No, doner. I thought
doner. Right. Okay. Got you. I got to say, I did think that the doner card didn't mean that I was end up in a false elephant's foot
kebab
in a chip shop.
I just saw recently something that said exactly how to pronounce it, but we just say doner kebabs.
Doner. It's German, so it's Döner.
Is it German?
It's actually a German invention, yeah. From like
really?
A
how did it
Turkish
end up in all the Turkish food?
It's a Turkish family that invented it.
Yeah, the Turkish rebuilt Germany after they were the cheap labor after the war.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's massive amounts of Turks in Germany, yeah.
Yeah, So it's actually now you can get it in Turkey. Like I talked to an employee, she's from Turkey, and she's like, yeah, we now have it as well. It's really strange.
That purring that you can hear, is Sprout has decided, this is my cat Sprout, he's decided that it was time for me to give him a cuddle, and he wasn't going to take no for an answer. So. Mm-hmm. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. You can follow me on Instagram at 12 Space Media as well. This has worked really well, hasn't it? Apart from me dropping out a couple of times. Don't know what that was, but we'll figure it out. Have a great week. Stay safe. Stay indoors. Protect the NHS. Save lives and all that kind of stuff. Don't go out. And apparently this weekend is critical that you do not come out, they've said. So it's not a request anymore. Do not leave the house. So we might do a few more shows this weekend. I want to bring the help show back.
I'm in.
While we're down here.
I've been wanting to talk to you about that.
Well, yes. No, I found the titles the other week. I found the titles for the help show.
Oh, cool.
So we should get some. We need an Androidy person on, and we also need a Linux person on. If we can get that sorted, are you good with Linux, Howard?
Nah, I wish I was. Hey,
where's our Bookshots?
Bookshots is he at Linux?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do that. No, so we'll have a think about doing the help show because we've got time. What else have we got?
I mean, if you remember, Bookshots. Bookshots had a whole podcast about digging in a terminal like a boss. Mm-hmm. He did an entire series.
I mean, any podcast you've got, just throw them my way.
You're that bored.
Complete desperation in terms of bored.
Have a word with Jeff after this, mate. Hook up with Jeff, and Jeff will show you how to bulldoze your way into every podcast on the net.
Tell Jeff to send you one of those teledildonic things he got.
I'm hoping that by the end of isolation, me and Jeff come as a pair.
It's totally possible.
If you're buying food and coffee, he'll let you.
Right, the funniest thing I saw today is somebody posted the cats. That the buttons on their pants are starting to social distance.
Oh, the wife weighed herself this morning. Apparently it was my fault.